Blog Talk Radio.
This is my prayer.
I just want the Lord to get it down me again.
Yeah. Lord, endow me. Lord, endow me. Send your power. Send it on down. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the precious Holy Ghost, we come before you tonight, dear Father, with open hearts. We come to you with thanksgiving in our tongues. And, dear Father, we just give you praise. And as we take out time to just worship your holy name, we say thank you, Jesus. Oh, I want to thank you, dear Father, for what you've done for us today. Oh, I want to thank you, dear Father, for moving death, hurt, harm, and danger out of our way. Oh, you're a good God, and I want to say thank you. Oh, I testify, dear Father, before the world of your goodness, dear Father. Oh, I thank you, dear Father, for looking over the ones that are on their sick bed right now. Oh, they may think that they have been forgotten, but you're still there, and you whisper little trinkets in their ear that is brightening their spirits tonight, and wherever they're at around the world, dear Father, I just intercede on their behalf. If they even don't take out time to say thank you, let me just say thank you for them, dear Father. Accept my thanksgiving on their behalf. Oh, I intercede, dear Father, for the mothers, their friends, for that wayward child. I come to you, dear Father, just asking you to lift up the bowed down heads, dear Father, and direct the lost into your pathway of righteousness, dear Father. For thou is the kingdom. You have all the power and the glory that we're searching for. It's within you. Oh, we invite you, dear Father, to come and be a part of us now, dear Father. May our decrease and may your everlasting love increase. Power throughout our homes, endower us, dear Father. And I ask you to look inside of us, dear Father, and forgive us of our sins, dear Father. As we forgive those that sin against us, may we forget not that you have forgiven us of our sins, that we can forgive others for their sins, dear Father. We ask you to bless all teachers and leaders and preachers and evangelists that is actually called and chosen by you, that is doing your will, not flipping and flopping, and not today and tomorrow, but steadfast in your word, steadfast in your mercy, steadfast in your directions. I thank you for your hedge of protection around them, and I ask you, dear Father, to deliver them out of all the things that may be trying to hinder and hold them back and put them on your strong foundation to stand firm in this day and time, a day and time when right seems to be taught wrong and when the wrong is taught now that is right. But, dear Father, but we can't move and we can't waver and we won't come down off of that wall. I stand, dear Father,
with your power, with your Holy Spirit, with your grace, with your mercy. It's not I, but it's you. And that's why I come to say thank you. That's why I come to say thank you. I thank you, Jesus, for unshakable peace. I thank you for faith-filled outlook. We ask blessings on all the families that are going through bereavements right now. Dear Father, we know that this body, dear Father, has to remain here and go back to the dust of where you created it, but our spirits never die. Our spirits never die. And as we choose here in this body where our spirits is going to dwell, I thank you for giving us an option to come and be back with you. Thank you for going ahead and preparing that place for us, dear Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. May it be something that is said tonight. May it be something that will lead and touch the hearts of the lost. Touch the hearts of the ones who say that they don't believe in you, but yet you're blessing them day by day by day, and they're giving credit to something else, a person or a man or a thing. But may it be something said tonight to your spirit, as you know you're each and every one that you created. You know how to reach them. You know how to teach them. You know how to get deep down in the core of the problems right now that they're focusing on, dear Father, that's making them want to be listening to the enemy to blind them away from the truth. But you are the truth, and you are the light, and so we invite you now to come into as no one else can. In the mighty name of Jesus, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen, 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 and amen. Amen. Sisters and brothers tonight, hallelujah, God bless each and every one of you. It is February 17th, 2014. We are in 2014 and moving right along. Hallelujah. We pray for all of those family members that have lost someone that has not made it into today. Made it into 2014, but didn't make it to February. Made it to February, but didn't make it to February 17th. Made it to the 16th, but not the 17th. In the 17th, but they don't know that they're here. They're absent right now from what we can see. Somebody's laying in a coma, and some family's praying over them and touching them and believing. How can you intercede with me tonight, sisters and brothers, and praying for those sisters and brothers? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, when we look at a faith-filled outlook, we're trying to get that unshakable peace. And I just wanted to talk to you about it. The Holy Spirit said, we need to just speak about it for a moment. I ask you to just let go of everything. And let's pick up God's word. Let's open our hearts. And whatever you're doing, wherever you're at, let's give God a chance to show himself to you. You know, we're talking about, starting tonight, we're just talking about Joseph. You know, if anyone had reason to be discouraged, Joseph did. Let's just look at a few reasons as to why. You know, his mother died when he was a boy. His brothers hated him. You know, they sold him into slavery. And then they convinced his father that he was dead. We're just moving on for the sake of time, but you know the story. And if you don't, just in Genesis 39. Go back and read the story. So now they convinced his father that he was dead. And now Joseph had to work hard in Potiphar's household, but he, as hard as he worked, he still ended up in prison. You know, not because of anything he had done, but because of false allegations. Yet he was not an angry person, not saying he didn't get angry at the situation as it happened, but he didn't allow it to become an angry person. He didn't allow that situation to destroy who he was and his relationship, his growth, to destroy the dreams that God had already told him, showed him long before that he told and spoke to his brothers. You know, sometimes we have to be aware. We get excited when God shows us something, but we have to be careful of who we tell our dreams. And then we have to be careful of where we're walking at when we're walking in our dream on our righteous road. Who are we walking with? Amen? We can't allow these things to get inside of us and destroy us. You know, it was a situation where Pastor was talking on last evening, and he was talking about the verdict, recent verdict here in Florida, and just the disappointment of how the outcome was. I know it's some different things going on with it now, but the original outcome and the disappointment of it, and that, but the as disappointed as it was, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, don't let it turn you, though. Don't let that anger get inside of you. Don't let it dwell. Move it out of the way. Give it to me. And that's what we all have to do in all of our situations. Yeah, I know somebody haven't heard from their kids in a long while. And, you know, they'll spend all of their time and all of their energy to give to, you know, in-laws or to give to their spouse or to give, but they will never even pick up the phone and say, hello, mother. Happy Valentine's, mother. Hello, father. You know, no occasion just to say hello. You can't let it anger you. You can't let it anger you. I know you may see others do for their parents. You may see other parents do for their kids. But, kids, you can't let it anger you. You can't let it disturb the inner part of you. You know, let's go back to Joseph for a minute. As we look at the Hebrew slave, he maintained his faith-filled outlook through all of the situations. And mostly because he consistently relied upon God. You know, the God who was always with him. He consistently relied upon God. Sometimes we get in a situation and we consistently rely upon our friends. Or we consistently rely upon our coworkers or sometimes we call hotlines. We rely upon the psychics. We rely upon all of the ones with the palm readings. We find somebody other than the truth, the God, the light, to rely upon. And then that we're leading ourselves into destruction. But we find when we look back at Joseph as a Hebrew slave, he consistently relied upon God. And I'm telling you, sisters and brothers, when you consistently rely upon God, there is no way that you will fail. God is not a failing God. He's never failed. And he's never going to fail. His word will not change. You may change. You may back away. You may tire out. You may move out of the way if you don't give it up to him, because anytime you carry a heavy load, you have to rest. But if you lay that load and take it off of you and give it over to our Father, then we don't have to be burdened down with that junk. Amen? I don't care what it is. It will show. Sister, don't you know that we see what you're going through? It will show. So let's go back here. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. So, you know, even in prison, Joseph was given responsibility over others. See, even in your mess, God is still wanting to work through you. He's still got a word that he's speaking to you. Are you listening? Are you crying so hard because of what's around you that you're not listening? Unstop your ears. God still has a responsibility that he wants to do something for you right now that's over somebody around you. So they may not be in your situation. It may look like they have everything right now. Everything's going good for them. God still has something for you that he's not even sharing with them yet. You know, like that righteous young man, we might also be held captive. I'm speaking about Joseph now. We may also be held captive by unemployment. We spoke about maybe illness. You know, you may just got some bad news that is holding you captive. Or it could be a difficult relationship that you're in. You know, I see you as you come to work and the bruises on your face. I see you. I see you. Been held captive. Been able to force a smile when you want to cry out for help. We see you. God still, if you just listen, rely upon him, lay down your burden, speak to him about it, talk to him about it. He knows. He will hear your cry. You don't have to be held captive, Judah. You do not have to be held captive. We, like that young man, can break the chains. By laying all of our burdens down, by speaking to God, saying, God, I'm giving it to you. It's too big for me. Show me your way. I can't do it. Hallelujah. Whatever that situation is that's holding you captive right now, in those hard places, and that nevertheless experiencing our Father's presence, and we will thrive once we start searching for his presence. We will thrive once we start reaching out and calling on his name. You see, the Holy Spirit will produce a godly fruit in us only when we depend upon him. The Holy Spirit will produce. So it's a step-by-step. It's a day-by-day. He will give you all that you need to make it through today. He will give you all that you need to make it through tonight. And we start at one step at a time, one foot in front of the other. He will take you all the way through. You know, whatever his circumstances were, Joseph refused to focus on himself. You know, when two warrior servants was jailed, he had compassion for them, and he gave them aid. In time of both blessings and crisis, we are to help others in any way that we can. We've got to help others. I noticed, too, how Joseph didn't shrink back from speaking boldly about God to these men and to Pharaoh. He told the Egyptian leaders that the answer he sought regarding his dreams would come from the Lord. He didn't say, I have the power to interpret them. But he spoke boldly about his God. He said, what you're seeking, the answers that you're seeking regarding your dreams, they're going to come from the Lord. So whether enslaved, in prison, or serving as Pharaoh's second hand in command, Joseph continued to flourish. He endured much hardship, but he saw that the Lord had used it for good. Because the Holy Spirit's presence is where? Within us. So we, like Joseph, can have a faith-filled perspective that glorifies God. And although our circle of influence varies in size, yours may vary from mine, our circle of influences are going to vary, but we all have a power to impact others. You're going to impact them either in a good way, a positive way, or a negative, bad way. But we all have the power to influence others. And I hear so many times they say, no, you have the, you're around, you know people, you're more out there, you're a speaker. That's your job. My little circle of people, I just know the people at work. Wherever you're at, sisters and brothers, I don't care what circle you're at, I challenge you to look around at your circle right now. Your family is your circle. As you go on your job tomorrow, you know, you may stop at the same convenience store every morning and meet the same people. That's your circle. When you're on your job and you're talking around the water cooler, that's your circle. Before that meeting starts, and, you know, we sit there and we talk for a minute, that's your circle. If you could just circle in your mind tomorrow all of your circles, I bet you'll shock yourself. You'll be surprised at how many opportunities you have to impact others. And then I want you to just check in yourself and see, how am I impacting my circles? Am I joining in with their badness? Or am I throwing a little light in that darkness? You know, whether at home, in the church, or in the world, our lives are on display. Our lives are on display. You know, oftentimes we aren't even aware of who is impacted by our words, or who is impacted by our attitudes, or even our actions. We don't even know how much our actions are impacting our circles. Let's talk about Daniel for a minute. You know, Daniel didn't set out with the purpose of making an impression on others, but something about him affected everyone who came in contact with him, from the lowly servants to the king of emperors. What made this young man stand out? Was it his commitment to his convictions? He believed in the absolute truth of the scriptures. He believed that every word in the scriptures was the truth. He believed in the absolute truth of the scriptures. So many times, as I hear so many that claim to be Christians, but they say, yeah, but I really don't know about that now. But I do believe in this here scripture. You know, sister, I can't answer your question about this or that because I'm not too for sure about that scripture. That doesn't really fit too well in this society, but I do believe in this portion of it. See, your actions are impacting your circles. No one wants to take something from you that is half good, half spoiled. You believe in half of it, you don't believe in the other. You know a little bit, and you're not interested in knowing anything else. See, they want something that's right. They want something that's fresh. They want something that's real. God is a real God. That's why he said if you're lukewarm, he will spew you out. Because if you get to know, he's a real God. He's a truthful God. He does too much for us. Amen? For us to stand back and doubt him now. Too much for us to be in doubt. Now, he believed in an absolute truth of the scriptures. And when Daniel was taken to Babylon, he made up his mind not to defile himself, king's food. You ought to read about that in Daniel. It's the first chapter of Daniel. Go down to verse 8. If he had made up in his mind, even as he was taken to Babylon, that he was not going to defile himself with the king's food. He knew that eating meat offered to idols, the meat they had offered to idols, don't get me wrong, it wasn't the meat, it was the meat that they had been offered to idols. It was forbidden by the Mosaic law. That was a forbidden thing. So Daniel's convictions, not his environment around him, but his convictions inside of him determined his behavior. Not the environment around him. Are you hearing me? See, our world offers a multitude of ways to compromise on what we know is right. We know that it's right. We know that it's right. You know what is right. But your environment is compromising and telling you this is no longer the right thing. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. But if we'll make up our minds instead of time, make up our minds ahead of time that we'll be able to stand firm in our obedience with God. That's why you have to be in prayer. That's why you have to talk to him. You have to be a listener of God's word. Because we need our mind to be made up before we walk into our environment. Amen? So we can be obedient. You know, although a world that does not believe may start to mock our values, it makes no sense to them. They mock our lifestyle. Their respect for us actually lessens when we waffle and when we give in to temptation. Their respect for us lessens even more. What's worse, our witness for Christ is damaged? When we give in and decide to go on the enemy's side, that's a big thing. You see, conviction about God's truth is like an anchor. When the winds of opportunity blow, and when the waves of temptations pound up against us, we can know with certainty that the right way to respond. We know the right way to respond. So don't facilitate in your obedience to the Lord. Your unwavering stance for what's right can powerfully influence others. Don't get away from it. Don't bag back. Don't fear. Don't jump back. This message, Jesus' example of building a tower shows the importance of planning and using resources wisely. You know, otherwise money may run out too soon. Any financial plan should be covered with prayer. With prayer. Whatever little you have, cover it with prayer. You know, first ask God for the wisdom to understand his teaching about your money and how they apply to your situation. Even your stand that you're going to stand and be obedient to the word of God, to all of his scriptures. Ask God, show me the scriptures, teach me, lead me to someone that's going to show me in the circumstance that I'm in right now in this environment, how I can use your holy scriptures, your word, the truth to cover me right now. I want to be endowed. I want to stand on your word. I want an unshakable peace in my environment. I don't want to weaken and turn my back against anything. Whether it's my money, whether it's my health, whether it's just my attitude, my actions, I don't want to be a wavering spirit. I want to stand strong in the word. Jonathan, God hears your cries. He hears your prayers. And he sees your walking. He sees that you're determined that you're going to get this thing. You're determined that you're going to lead your family in the righteousness of the Lord. He sees you. He hears you. And that's why he continues to send and bring those that are strong in your weak areas to you, that are knowledgeable in the ways that you're seeking out for the wisdom. That's why he's bringing them right there to you. Hallelujah, because he's just that kind of God. He said if you seek him, you're going to find him. And that's where you're at right now. Congratulations to you, Jonathan. God bless you, my brother. God bless you, my brother. Hallelujah. One final step. As we're praying and we're clarifying about any details which involving what we're doing, how we're doing it, we have to remember that anxiety is the enemy of a peaceful life. You know, people go to great lengths to get rid of stress. You know, it's travel aids that promise vacations will sweep you away from all of your stress. You know, gyms offer you to just sweat it out, sweat out all your stress, your problems. Or some popular magazines may suggest ways to lessen it by adjusting your schedules or adjusting your habits to get rid of the stress. We're all searching an advertisement for what? We're looking for unshakable peace in all different areas. See, the problem is with so many of these is that no one can adequately shift circumstances to achieve total freedom. Total freedom from your heartache. You can't shift your circumstances to achieve total freedom from your burden. You can't turn that circumstances around so you're never having your troubles. That loved one may be dead. You can't change that situation. You may have just got fired and you can't change that circumstance. However, we can have unshakable peace during our anxious times. You know, Jesus said to seek peace in him because he has overcome the world. If he can overcome the world, John 16:33 tells us, if he can overcome the world, he's going to have all the peace. We're just trying to overcome this death. We're just trying to overcome this loss of job. We're just trying to overcome this betrayal. We're just trying to overcome this lie. He's already overcame the world. He has. Just waiting for us. He's extending it to us. That unshakable peace during your anxious time. You know, the key is to shift our focus from the scary problem. We got to shift our focus. And I know a lot of times we try shifting it, and we're good for a minute or two or 5 minutes, and the enemy knocks on our heart, and he knocks on our ears, and he's trying to bring it back and replay it over again. But you've got to be so determined that you're going to, every time you, when you recognize it, you're going to flee him out. You're going to let it go. You're going to denounce it. You're going to stand right back up because he's trying to knock you back down. You're going to stand right back up on the word. And in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, not by Vaughn, not by you, not by Susie, not by you, but it's by the blood of Jesus. It's by the one who sacrificed his life for you. It's by the one who's already overcame the world. In his name, this is what we're doing it in. In his name. So keep our focus from the scary problems and put them on God. Read the word. Listen to the word.
Now, you can't sit there and push all kind of junk, listening to all kind of junk in your mind every day, every night. And then when something comes up, you think that the Holy Spirit and the Word of God is just going to miraculously just appear in your spirit and bring you through all of this junk that you're in. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. What you put in you is what's going to come out of you. If you put the Word of God in you, if you're learning your scriptures, if you're trying diligently to post them up until you can get them, if you're trying to walk in this pathway of righteousness, there you are. If you're trying to live out in the world, then there you are. Something happens. The first thing you do, you're going to call on what you got inside of you. If it's the world, that's what you're going to call. But I come to tell you, it's nothing that's going to help you there. It can't calm you down. It can't give you unshakable peace. You will go crazy. You'll turn into an alcoholic, a drunk. You will find yourself disengaged from the world. You will ostracize yourself from everyone because you're so afraid of what's going to happen, who's going to say this. And you can't anybody say anything about you. It's just fragile. You're just so fragile. It just tears you apart. You can't trust the one you're with. You say that you love them, but you can't trust them. You say that you love them, but they have to do things in this certain pattern, or it throws you off of your balance. You don't trust anymore. You don't love anymore. You've got to stay focused, sisters and brothers. And we go over this and over this, and we still are battling these same things over and over and over again. But you've got to keep on fighting and be determined. I'm going to listen to this until I get it. I'm going to practice this until I get it. I'm going to keep shifting my focus from my scary situation onto God. You know the God who lovingly provides whatever we need from him? You know the God who his limitless resources is there for you? You know the God who has a limitless power that's there for you? I ain't talking about that fake stuff that the enemy flashes before you, but I'm talking about real power. Yeah, I'm talking about real power, real joy, real happiness, answers. That's what I'm speaking about. That God. Amen? We've got to give it all to him. In our closing tonight, you know, serenity can't be manufactured. It's a gift from our Heavenly Father. You know, his spirit produces a sense of calm in believers who seek the Lord's protection against anxiety. That's what it's told in Philippians, right? We're fighting against anxiety, and we're fighting it with peace. We're fighting it with calmness, serenity. Why are we using that? Because it's a gift from God. It's a gift from our Father. You know, the Greek word translated as guard, G-U-A-R-D, in today's passage, literally means to garrison about. So God ramps hearts and minds in peace. God effectively safeguards our heart and our mind against all of our consuming worries, against all of the fears. He wraps your heart in it. He wraps your mind in, and he guards it. It's a garrison about. God wraps hearts and minds in peace, effectively safeguarding both against all consuming fears, all consuming worries. Notice that he doesn't make problems go away. He could if he wanted to. It's a lesson of your growth. He doesn't take the problems away, but we may still be under that pressure. We may still be prone to weep. But he says that we're cushioned against anxiety. He said we're encircled by peace. Amen? Even though you're in that problem, or you still have that problem. You know, today's verses tell us to pray rather than give into anxiety. That's our bottom line. Pray instead of just giving into your anxiety. Your prayer may be something like, God, I'm praying because I'm feeling so anxious right now.
But you said I should be anxious for nothing. I want you to remove my anxiety from me. So I'm praying. God, I don't even know what I need to say, but I just want to talk to you right now because I'm feeling very anxious right now. Let me just speak to you, and I ask you to cover me, buffer me, be a buffer around me, guard around me, cushion me against my anxiety, encircle me, dear Father, against all of the things that are trying to come through and steal my peace and my joy. Today's verse is about prayer. These words are Paul's orders for doing battle against the stresses and troubles of this world. Prayer. See, prayer keeps your mind and your heart garrisoned with peace. So keep trusting in God so that your defenses are strong and your anxieties can't slip in. Keep trusting in God. And if you don't know that God, I invite you to just repeat after me. God of God, Lord of lords, I believe that you are the creator of all things. I believe, dear Father, that you gave your son that he would come and give his life for my sin. I am a sinner. I believe that there is no way to you but through your son, Jesus Christ. And I invite you to come and live inside of me right now. Come and cleanse my heart and make me brand new. I accept you, Lord Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior, to live in me forever and evermore. In Jesus' name, we thank you for saving my life. Amen. Amen. Now, if you just pray that prayer, I just encourage you to reach out and let someone know of your decision to follow Christ. Get in a Bible-teaching church. A Bible-teaching church. You know, God's got a blessing for you. Until tomorrow night, we'll meet back up. I love you and God loves you more. Let's just listen to a little bit of God's got a blessing for you, okay? He has a blessing just for you. Wherever you go, whatever you're doing, in Jesus' name, we thank you. My name is Evangelist Von Dunham. I am your host. I will be back with you tomorrow night. And until then, you can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can leave a message here to Blog Talk Radio. However you choose to get in touch with me, let me know what I can do to be a part of your walk with God. In Jesus' name, amen. God's got a blessing. Thank you.